February 13th, and we are talking Motivational Monday. Even though it's now Tuesday, we haven't gone to bed yet, so technically it's still Monday, plus the Blackhawks lost. So let's try to just, you know, cling to whatever happy thoughts that we have. Joining me in studio is Jiu-Jitsu instructor Jen Zanotti. She's also somebody who is going to help us keep on track with perhaps your New Year's resolutions that have fallen by the wayside, or figure out new ways to stay engaged and to challenge yourself and to feel good about yourself. Jen,
yes.
How have you been since the last time we talked to you?
I've been great. Very busy.
Yeah, you are. You're ramping up to tour soon and compete in California.
I am. I leave March 6th to the 12th, so I'm going for Pan Ams, which is always one of my favorite competitions.
And so as a jiu-jitsu competitor, how do you start, I mean, in the months leading up to, do you change your sleep habits, your eating habits? Do you ramp up the training?
So I like to stay pretty consistent all year and always be ready. So my training doesn't change too much. There are certain aspects that I'll focus on a little bit more, just to get a little bit more ready for the tournament. But as far as even my eating habits, I try to maintain weight where I need to be, so it's not like I'm going to be cutting or anything beforehand. That adds a little extra stress when you have to add in a weight cut. So.
Do you have weight groups for competition for jiu-jitsu? Really?
Oh, yes.
So do you have
There's
women?
Divisions.
Do you have women who are like wearing like plastic bags and?
Oh, yeah.
Taking,
you'll
like,
see it.
Diuretics
yeah.
and things like that.
People who wait kind of till the last minute and need to shed that last few pounds.
Oh,
yeah. Because
no.
you really have to weigh in your gi right before you go on the mat to compete.
That's intense.
Yeah. So it's not like a night before thing.
No. If you're 5 pounds
you have
over.
To be on point.
Do they bump you up in class or are you just out for the
you're
competition?
Disqualified.
Okay.
Yes.
As can you imagine, like before you start doing what you're gonna do next, they're like, "Here, stand on the scale." I would not be able to do that.
No. If you foresee an issue with the weight, you have like a week before you can make changes, and you can register for maybe the above, you know, weight class. But no, if it's there, you're out.
So for people who aren't competing in, you know, or like sort of, you know. Events like jiu-jitsu.
Yes.
And do you think there's something to like maybe having a target, not necessarily what your weight is, but for what you want to accomplish, right? So you
Absolutely.
Know, go like you said, you want to be prepared. You want to be
right.
ready and you don't want to have to worry about your weight at the last minute.
Yes.
But are there ways that people can change their lives in order to always be ready?
Absolutely. I don't always worry about the number on the scale. And I feel like that's a really big thing that I deal with a lot of my clients. For me, I have to be a certain weight for a tournament. So that number comes, you know, plays a little bit more of an important role. But I tell people, as long as you feel good, pay attention to how you're feeling. If you're feeling healthy, if you want to be more energized, it's not necessarily always about the number. The number can be a good track, you know, just to kind of gauge, what you've done and how much you've accomplished, but I really think it's about how you feel. People need to pay attention to that a little bit more.
And when they aren't feeling as energized, what kind of things is it that a mix of diet, sleep, and exercise?
Yes, exactly. So sleep is very important, and a lot of people don't get enough of it. You should be getting about 7 to 9 hours of sleep
as,
per night.
How are you doing on that 7 to 9 hours?
Fairly okay. Oh, I'm actually trying to fix my sleep as well.
So okay.
That's always an important thing, I think, as well.
It's super important. I mean, I make sure I have to have at least 8 hours of sleep per night.
I feel like I'm going to screw that up for you tonight. All right.
It's okay.
All right. Just
okay.
tonight.
6 will be fine. I'll be good.
Oh, no.
No.
I downloaded an app that to help me, because I was supposed to be up early one morning and I could not fall asleep. I'm like, I'm going to find something that helps me drift off.
Yeah.
It didn't necessarily take Like I fell asleep for a while and I woke up again and I had to do it again.
Right.
But it's one of these apps that tells you to like to clench parts of your body and
okay.
let it relax.
Yeah.
Which I thought was very interesting.
That is. I listen to a frequency every night. So
frequency?
There's different frequencies. Yeah, but not so much like that. A little bit better.
Is this helping people sleep? Would that help? Would this frequency help you sleep?
Yeah.
You can go on YouTube and find different things. So you can find more of like a positive sleep, you know, thoughts or things that it's not really speaking thoughts for like a guided meditation, but it's something you can listen to for 8 hours and you can put it on very low.
What frequency are you listening to?
Calming music.
Do you know?
Sometimes I do like for my solar plexus, for your chakras. You can have a focus.
Interesting. So you're saying falling asleep to scandal is not a good idea?
Probably not.
Okay.
But it's very soothing and calming, and it makes you relax.
I agree. And I think that I need to get into a pattern of letting that be the way I relax rather than like having conversation background noise.
Yeah, when you have the TV on or you're on your phone right before you go to sleep, it's a little bit distracting.
It's bad for your brain.
It's that blue light. Yes.
I know.
So to have something to listen to put on, to be nice and relaxed, calm, I find that it just helps me get to that deep sleep faster.
I'm trying to find sleep frequency on my phone right now.
So I have many that I can send you.
All right. That makes a lot of sense, though, to have something.
But it depends, too, like what you want. I like to be consistent with the ones that I listen to. So maybe I'll focus on my solar plexus for a little while and listen to that for a week or two, especially before tournament. If I want something that's more like confidence, courage, you know, that's your center. So that's something that's a little bit more balancing. You can listen to just, you know, positive frequencies. There's different things.
432 hertz frequency music for sleeping and deeper relaxation.
There you go.
Interesting. I'm going to have to look into this.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if I play it right now, I'd be in trouble with, like... Does it say 9 hours and 9 minutes?
Yeah.
That's an ad.
Sorry, yeah.
I'm turning the ad off.
No, they play all night. I mean, it's several hours. So you can just fall asleep to it and...
I'm going to give this a try.
Wake up. I mean, it's very calming.
Now, because some people are really good about jumping out of bed and starting their day. I make the mistake of rolling over as you grab your phone first thing in the morning to see what holy hell is new today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I even leave on the volume, which is not good.
No.
And I'll wake up every once in a while and I hear like...
You have to put it on Do Not Disturb.
I know. I can't help it. I get paranoid that I think that somebody's...
But you know
to contact me.
But do you have, you can set your phone for certain emergency like contacts to still be able to get through.
I don't trust my phone.
Fair. Let me see if I can.
I know, but it works. There.
Can you sleep with this frequency?
No. No, I can't. I can't deal with noises.
Is this relaxing for anybody?
If you...
Put
it on very low.
Put on very low.
You sleep.
Can I tell you that I have the meditation app that I was using?
Yeah.
It says, please do not use this meditation app while you are driving.
No.
Or operating a heavy mechanical.
You get way too relaxed.
Well,
it's very dangerous.
Why would you be taking a sleep app when you're driving?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense. I've also got some candles in the back seat.
Right.
And some incense burning. The masseuse will start the massage any minute now.
Yeah. But that is a useful tool that can help.
I feel like my masseuse is going to... Oh! I haven't had a chance to tell you guys this. Speaking of massages, 312-981-7200, have you had a massage lately? And is there a unique situation that developed during your massage? And I don't mean like anything creepy or anything, although this is really weird, but I'll tell you mine when we come back. I've never had this happen, and in my mind the whole time I was like, it could be worse. It could be worse. And I want to know if yours was worse than mine, because it was goofy and it was weird, but I honestly think it could have been worse. 312-981-7200 if you have a unique or quirky massage experience. That sounded weird. I know it's very leading, isn't it?
Yes, it
is. Or if you have any questions for our motivational expert, Jen Zanotti. It's Motivational Monday. Are you trying to get back on track with your New Year's resolution, or do you want to recommit to being a better you any time of the year? More after this on 720 WGN. The opportunity to hold on to your New Year's resolutions. Esmeralda, I didn't have a chance to ask you. I think we all talk about our New Year's resolutions. Did you have one?
Kind of.
Right?
It's really the same thing that everybody has.
Right.
I start right over again, mm-hmm. Get in shape, eat better.
You know, remember when stuff. Steve Van Dinter said, you can put on your, set a time for yourself every day to meet your mm-hmm. goals every day. So I have my goal was to read for half an hour a day, uh-huh. right?
And you have your reminders.
And that reminder comes up every day and it says, done it. It's been a bit since I've been able to follow through on that.
Yeah.
And then working out, I've done more than the reading stuff. So I'm trying to recommit. You have to pick a day of the week to check in with, what your goals are. Or what you intended to do.
Yeah.
And what's next?
I mean, I think it's good to not set too many. It's like focus on one thing at a time. So if you're working out more, you might not be reading as much, but
sure.
you can change that maybe to once a week, twice a week, but you're doing more training, which is good. I feel like people are so hard on themselves and they want to do so many things at once. And it's like, take one thing at a time. Start with the training, go in once, twice a week. Or if it's with the food and the nutrition, whatever it is, but little baby steps.
Paul, Paul Farvar joins us in studio.
Yeah.
Fresh off the plane.
Yes.
At Midway, did you land at Midway?
I did. Yeah.
How was landing at Midway? Midway's got some, sudden stops. Land, boom, stop. Cause they have shorter runways. Oh yeah.
No, I didn't have any problems with that, but
okay. This is me. I wouldn't
be able to handle that.
For me, it's weird. It's weird to be landing in someone's backyard.
Yeah,
it's just weird because I always worry about that because there was that one time where the plane slid. So
yeah.
I was worried about that when the weather was like this. But
they ran out of de-icing material, so you were lucky to take off last week.
Oh,
before the
I missed the all the snow.
Weather.
So
yeah, I wish I had too. It was really. Worked out really well for me. Did you have have you stuck with your New Year's resolution?
I did, for the most part.
What's been your resolution?
My big one was to not eat French fries anymore.
Oh, that's right.
Okay, look at that.
I feel like I think I've had some sweet potato fries, but I think that whenever I see a fry, I'm like, Paul's not having them. I shan't either.
Oh, nice. It's solidarity
you
fries.
You make me say shan't, just so you know.
That's fine.
All right, then.
It's hard though, because every time you go, and I eat out all the time for fast food and stuff, and so they're always like, you want fries with that? I'm like, no, I know how this works. And it's always it's so much more expensive when you don't do the value meal.
Did you see that article that came out? They said that they experimented with mice and the hair growth. Did you see this? Yes.
What?
Some chemical in the oil in McDonald's fries
yep.
makes them regrow hair. But you don't need to eat the fries in order to get the benefits of the chemicals.
Is there Propecia in it?
Apparently.
I'm paying all this money for Propecia?
I did see that and I was like, wait a minute.
Great. Yeah.
No. I don't know about that.
Everybody's
going to want to get McDonald's. Yeah, exactly.
Not the French fry.
Yeah. So no, I've stuck with that.
Because you'll have heart disease and but your hair will grow back.
But hair is so important.
I understand that. There's other ways to get it done. Just ask Erlacher. He's kind of dumb.
Oh, yeah, no, I can't.
And Ryan
do that.
Sandberg.
Looks goofy.
No, it doesn't. It
looks
fine.
Okay.
It's going to look great going into the Hall of Fame.
He looks better bald, though. That's all.
He's got a nice sleek skull. Yeah, I don't know any other way to say that. No, he's okay, I'm not going to get into the. Very strange very quickly.
There's an app now where you could see what you look like, where they do the shape changes or face changes and everything. And,
oh, yeah.
And how you look bald?
There's one you could do bald, and it's not
That would
good.
Be frightening.
Yeah. Well, there's also the one now that everyone's doing, which is how they would look as the other gender.
Oh, yeah.
As have you seen this or tried this one?
I did. I just look like my brother.
Oh.
That's pretty much it.
Okay. I don't know if I can send people to my... I don't think I'm going to send them to my friend's page, but she did it. And she's always made jokes about how she looks like a drag queen.
Uh-huh.
It was her both pictures.
Oh, no.
It was her both pictures in the dude picture, just a slightly square jawline. I'm not...
Wow.
I'll show you that during the 12:30 news. It's like, aw. I mean, she had a good sense of humor about it because she's always made the jokes. I mean, she's an incredible woman. She's attractive and, but apparently she looks like a dude if she were... Either way.
Wow.
I was asking before the break if anyone has had any unique massage experiences. I've gone through phases where I get a massage regularly and then I stop for a long time. I never used to like them. My mom is a big fan of the massages.
I love massages.
So you also give massages, right?
I do a stress therapy treatment.
Stress therapy. Do you ever have, and this is not me, and I'm not going to say I'm related to somebody who's my mom that does this, but do you ever have clients who make a lot of noise? like a lot of uncomfortable, awkward noises. And I get it. There's a release, right? They want to be completely relaxed.
Yes. I'm saying, mouth, you mean?
My mother and I were at a retreat, and she was like, and it wasn't like rooms. It was like curtains.
Like curtains, yeah.
And my mom, off. I was uncomfortable. And I was like, okay, I gotta go. I'm not gonna feel
that's
relaxed.
So funny.
Yeah, it was. I just wonder what her masseuses all of, because I
wow.
My mom is a very vocal person,
right?
In every sense.
Enjoyed her massage.
Well, she, like, my mom and I both have it, and my dad was like this too. Like, when we sneeze, it is terrifying. I was at the Navy Pier's Winter Wonderland 2 years ago, and I was in the bathroom, and somebody just let out this blood curdling sneeze that, like, just made you flinch and the walls rattled. I'm like, holy crap. And then my mom walked out of the stall and I was like, yep, that's my family. I mean, it was jarring how loud it was. Plus with, like, the echo chamber of all the tiles and stuff.
Right.
Okay, so.
Most of those places have, like, isolated rooms, especially, like.
Yes, typically. So
maybe they're used to that.
Maybe I have masseuses, 312-981. And I think that you should be able, if that's what happens when you relax, then that should be okay.
I've had more of, like, you know, the exhale, like, but nothing too.
I am loud when I exhale.
Crazy.
Like, sometimes I'll have somebody massaging me and I'll be like, it's a weird noise. So and you'll have a masseuse, like, tell you to take a deep breath so that they can kind of get, you know, that rub in. Oh, that's kind of weird. But so my masseuse on Friday, so the snowstorm hits, I had slept at the station. So I had all this time in the morning before I had an interview with a guest, and I said, well, I'll get a massage. And my masseuse, did a fine job. He was yawning the entire time.
No.
Like, just, and, like, I could hear his jaw click. So it was so distracting as I started, like, focusing on, like, how much worse it could be. Like, if he was sniffling the whole time, like, that would be unsettling.
That's very,
like,
distracting.
It was incredibly.
Maybe he's trying to relax you.
I mean, make you tired, make you sleepy.
Yeah. It was the most distracting massage I've ever had. It was very, very strange. It was fine, but I was trying really hard not to laugh, because at some point it just becomes comical at how long. Like, I think that if they were, like, cracking their knuckles while they were, I was trying to think of all the sounds that would be upsetting,
more annoying
than yawning during my massage. I mean, like, what would be? I mean, I guess if they were passing gas, that would be distracting too.
Beatboxes.
Yeah, while they're massaging, that would be weird.
I mean, I've had people talking.
Oh,
it was bad. I mean, I was getting a back and foot massage. So it was like a 40-minute treatment.
Right.
My friend and I went in, and there were a few other people, so this was in more of, like, an open room. But they were all talking to each other.
Ugh.
While we were getting the treatment done.
No! Yeah, but they were talking to each other, not even to you.
Right.
No.
Like,
no.
A hair salon?
No, like, yes. Not, or nail salon.
I'm
no.
not going to say where it was, but
no.
It was a spa type atmosphere. But it's not appropriate.
It's not appropriate.
No, I'm like, I'm in the service industry. Like, if that happened, I mean, that would be horrible. You can't do that. The point is relaxation.
Well, I always, when I'm getting my nails done, I have not had my nails done in a year. I used to go somewhat regularly.
Yeah.
And, but I would be at some nail salons where you can't understand what they're saying. Like, one time I was getting a pedicure, and, the stylist held up my foot and showed it to somebody else, and I have no idea what they said. More after this on 720 WGN. Have you stayed on track for the goals you set in the new year? You call them New Year's resolutions, but this, you know, this is February now. What do we call them? What do we call them now in February? Jen Zanotti, our motivational expert for Motivational Monday.
I mean, I think you can just set goals any time of the year. I think you kind of set yourself up a little bit for failure when you just hold on to it for your New Year's resolution. It's like any time you can pick right back up and set a new goal.
I feel like getting motivated has been my hardest thing. Yes, Paul?
Oh, it's Lent now. You can give up something on Wednesday, right?
Yes.
Are you giving anything up?
I usually like to do something good.
Oh, So the opposite.
Instead of give something up.
Instead of withholding something from yourself.
Yeah.
Feeling like it's a punishment.
I think because I am pretty dedicated to doing a lot of fitness and nutritional things that I like to just throw something in extra that I like to do good.
I'm trying to think what I would do for, I'm not Catholic. Lutherans don't necessarily mm-hmm. give anything up for Lent. So maybe, mm-hmm. maybe everybody needs to do something good and a positive. Paul, what would you do for
it? A great idea.
I'm not Catholic, but I'll probably just do the fries thing.
Continue with the fries.
I'll just reissue it, renew it.
Maybe add like one more thing in. You've got the fries down. Pretty, so maybe add one more thing
now. No donuts.
I just ate one before I got here.
Well, yeah, but it's not Lent yet. Well. Lent starts on Wednesday?
On Wednesday. It's on Valentine's Day.
It is.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
So no donuts for 40 days?
Oh.
And 40 nights.
No.
Ez, are you doing Lent?
I could do that.
You know, I'm a Catholic and we don't do that.
Fair enough.
At my house. We never did that. So
we never did
it's
either.
Fine.
I do love the uptick in sales at McDonald's for their Filet-O-Fish sandwich.
Oh yeah.
Everybody's got
on Fridays.
Cassara, do and you on, do? They do on Fridays. Yeah. They because that's
no meat.
No meats.
No. I'm out.
You're out. Like,
sorry.
No Lent traditions. Yeah,
we grew up with that. I mean, big time. But
didn't they?
Now I don't follow it as much.
I was gonna say, didn't the Catholic Church come out with like absolutions or? Sort of caveats.
Yeah.
I can't remember what the phrase is that they let Catholics
I think maybe
off the
like
hook.
On Sundays you can... Why do I... Th- somebody had
no,
said...
It is
I, isn't it something?
Like, unless you
maybe
forget.
Fridays? I think it might be Fridays.
Well, Fridays is the no meat.
Right. It's no
but
meat.
I think Sundays is like the day you could...
Like have a cheat.
Have a cheat, yeah.
Yeah,
anything
I went to
goes.
Private Catholic entire life. Yeah, they definitely.
Yeah, there's something. Way. Yeah, for sure.
I'm surrounded by Catholics in my house, and I'm like, you guys do you.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go ahead and have this chocolate covered French fry.
Same.
But then we always talked about it's like
yeah,
you know what?
Version.
Do something. You know, do something good. Do something positive.
I have 24 hours to figure this out. About
you can like
it could be for yourself. It could be for somebody else.
Bad words.
You know. I started writing, you know, I started doing this weekend. I started writing thank you letters that I should probably send off. I've not been good at, yes, real.
Real letters? Not like emails?
No, not like emails.
Like handwritten letters.
I wrote one out to Tom Skilling that I have to get off to him because he joined us very late on Thursday. Pretty late, to be exact.
Yes.
Not very late. Not too late.
Pretty
just pretty late.
What constitutes a thank you letter from you?
It's a card and,
No, but like why?
Why?
Like if I bought you a soda, would I get one?
That's the thing is like, I think I should start writing letters for people who strike me as having gone above and beyond and been, so.
It's a very nice thing to receive a letter.
I'm just trying to, yeah.
So basically as, you buying a pop is not.
I might.
Right.
Yeah, where's the cutoff
maybe,
line?
Now I feel like I should need to put
that's
Ez
a good
on
question
to,
is.
Well, also I didn't send any Christmas cards, so I might just like send thank you cards to everybody for, and just find something.
Thanks for
like,
the Christmas card.
Thank you for not getting angry at me. Well, for Christmas cards, people start noticing when you don't, you get taken off lists and
yeah.
you have to earn your way back in, which I think is completely understandable. But I also, the you know, part of it was that the postcard, the family postcard thing,
yeah.
we don't do that.
Okay.
So we would start doing the Christmas cards, the generic ones. And then I heard someone, I think on the station say, well, there's not even any thought into that if you're just going to buy one of the box set. And I'm like,
I think Ashley produced that show.
Who said that? Someone said if you...
I think it was John Hansen.
I think it was. Yeah. That if you just get like a, right as, did he say this?
Someone that's like pre-filled.
Yeah. But I always write an extra note.
Right.
That's what I do. I just send people a song.
Okay.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you, Paul.
That's thoughtful.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
It's on Facebook. It's a lot easier than
just
mailing a letter.
That makes sense. There's Jen Kramer, who used to be the head of the director of entertainment and special events at Navy Pier. She now works at DePaul.
Uh-huh.
Every single day, she picks a person to tell a little story why she appreciates them, which is nice. I like that.
I think that's a great thing.
There you go.
I think this week, too, like we were talking about with mm-hmm. Valentine's Day, showing love and appreciation for everybody in your life. It doesn't have to be just romantic, but I think it's important to take that time out.
And decide, like, remember why you're grateful and who
yes.
you're grateful for.
Yes.
I think that's important.
Practicing gratitude.
Practicing gratitude. How does that affect?
Part of yoga. Right?
Is it part of yoga?
Yeah.
I probably should do more yoga.
As part of yoga, I think it should be part of life. I mean, they have a lot of mantras of, you know.
I haven't gone in a while.
I haven't gone to a lot. I've bought Groupons for yoga, and I haven't gone to those either. I thought that would help.
But
me
you can
get
just
there.
Practice gratitude on your own. I mean, daily.
Take well,
just listening to that song over and over.
Thank you for being a fan.
Such a good song.
I think that's a great idea. Okay, so find moments where you can reflect on what you're grateful for and who you're grateful for, who you love, and.
Absolutely.
Kind of
I think it's important that we just take time out to let those people know that we love them.
Oh, you have to tell them, too.
I think you should tell them.
I'm not doing that.
Paul and I, we grew up in households where expressing our feelings is a little bit complicated. But no, you're right.
But I think it's nice to tell people that you appreciate them and love them.
I think that's a great
idea.
You could
do the first. You can just say, I appreciate you.
I appreciate you.
You don't have to say, I love you. You can say, I appreciate you.
I appreciate you. You know who does that a lot?
Go ahead.
What were you going to say?
I was just going to say, I think right now, like, especially in these times, we just need to practice more love. Like, show compassion and appreciation towards people.
I think you're right. Carm does this all the time. Have you ever been around Carm, Ez, where he's like, I appreciate you?
Oh, right, yes.
Yeah. He often says that he makes a practice of saying, I appreciate you. Yeah. I like. I always like that. It sounds very good.
I can do that.
Especially with you know what? I'm going to start writing that as a...
It's important.
When there's a Facebook argument, I'm going to start writing, I appreciate you, but...
I appreciate you, bye.
However, this conversation has gone in a direction I don't think you meant it. Do you follow Dobie Maxwell's page?
I don't know if I still do.
There's a comedian named Dobie Maxwell who's been doing comedy for a long time.
His personal page,
huh? And he'll post like stories and essays and stuff, and then some guy decided to go off on Dobie, and we all circled the wagons. We were like, who do you think you are?
Right.
Dobie Maxwell, who's been on the show,
he's
the author of the book Monkey in the Middle, which I highly recommend. Google the book Monkey in the Middle, where one of his friends convinced him to help him rob a bank. Anyway, that's see, that's being too good of a friend.
Yeah.
You know, when they,
I would say so.
They're able to convince you to do that. But Dobie has made his way through all of that, including having to be wired by the law enforcement.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So Dobie has a lot of, I think, wisdom to share. And this kid from, like, I don't know where, like on the East Coast, went off on this rant. You're like, then it's not for you.
Yeah.
That's the thing, is I think showing who you're grateful for, we spend so much time saying all the things that we hate or the people we don't like and why. Then, you know.
Exactly.
Maybe what you do is every time you're angry at somebody, try to counter it with either what I do like about that person or think of somebody that you do like and fill yourself with positive thoughts.
It just always goes to the negative so quickly, and it's like, let's think about the positive a little bit more.
Yeah, negative is easier, even though it's more consuming.
People always talk, they're like, oh, you're always so positive, and, you know, almost like it's an insult. And I'm like, you know, it's hard to be that way. Not that I don't have times where I can be negative or I can be upset or
it's
emotional.
Choice.
But I then choose to go through the emotion, let it go, and move on. And to have that positive attitude, it's hard. It takes a lot of strength, and it's very difficult.
It also robs comics of their superpowers. I mean,
I did. That
we have to dwell a little bit, right?
That was my other.
You can dwell for the moment.
Yes, in the creative process,
release it.
Yes, like when somebody has a windshield covered with snow.
Right.
What? My lawyer has told me I cannot talk about my... Ez, did you see my Facebook video?
Oh my gosh.
My photo?
I didn't say you can't talk
My about. Legal counsel has told me that I should not talk about this. So I'm not going to wait until the, I'll wait till the court date.
See what happens.
Yeah, I'm showing up for the... You know I'm going to show up to testify.
Of course.
Oh, yes, you will.
No, the guy got ticketed for not clearing up. Anyway, you can go to my Facebook page if you want to know what I'm talking about. Yes, Paul?
No.
Can you focus on the positive?
That was the other thing that I, for my New Year's resolution, was to remove a negative thing every week in my
life. That's a great resolution.
Every week?
Every week. But I ran out of, I'm already out. Like, it's been 2 weeks, I couldn't find anything negative to
remove. Well, that's amazing.
What about when somebody told you that your material is racist?
I'm going to respond to that. I asked the cult club, I had my first, a complaint about my material.
Well, let's talk about that. Can we talk about it on the air?
Yeah, of course.
All right, let's talk about a complaint that Paul got and how we can turn that into a positive, or how he's already turning it into a positive. When you get feedback at work, how do you make it work for you? More after this on 720 WGN. Show gratitude to the people that you love in your life. We're hanging out with motivational expert Jen's not. I'm making you an expert. She's also a jiu-jitsu expert. And she is going to be taking leave of us in March to compete in the Pan Ams in California. And we wish you the best of luck as you're in your first year of competing as a purple belt.
Yes.
That's very
so
cool.
So exciting.
Paul, we need to go check her out when she'll be back in Chicago in March competing as well. So we have to go check her out in action. Kay, how are you doing tonight? Hold on. Let me make sure. There you are. Hey, Kay.
Hi, I got two things I do with for gratitude. And it makes me happy. You know, when you make other people happy, it makes you happy. So it's a double header.
I agree. It's good for your heart and your mind. Yep.
Well, when I do any kind of business on the telephone, I'm talking to anybody on the telephone when we're all finished, I usually say, thank you so much for your service. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for being part of the community. And you can just hear the sound and change.
I think we're losing you a little bit. Are you?
Can you hear me better now?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
There we go.
When you're doing business on the phone, what did you say after that?
When I'm finished doing business with them, instead of saying goodbye, I say just one more thing. I asked them what their name is. My name is Margaret. I said, Margaret, I just want to thank you for doing such a great job taking care of me, being so patient, answering all my, you know, whatever the case may be.
I agree.
And then when I'm, you know, I thank them. And whenever I get on the bus, usually people don't even, the bus driver doesn't even exist. So I make a point of saying, hi, how are you? Good morning. And I have that's the one thing I do. The second thing I do is I give out peppermints. One peppermint is a stupid little piece of candy, but it brings so much joy. If I give one to the bus driver, usually they smile or they say thank you or they say, oh, that's really, I really needed that. Thank you so much. All right. When I go to shop and when I'm checked out of the grocery store, I hand them a peppermint after I pay my bill. And you can't imagine the way they smile, how appreciative they are. Just a simple little, it's not the peppermint, it's the fact that somebody took time to give them something.
I agree. I love that.
It's just a simple little thing. It doesn't take any more of my time, and yet it really spreads joy around so much.
That's the thing, is a simple gesture of kindness, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. I love that, Kay. Oh, thank you so much for sharing that story with us.
You're welcome, honey. Take care. God bless.
God bless. Yeah, that's very sweet. What a great idea. Just something that cheers
that's
people.
That's super sweet. Just even, I mean, smiling at people. Saying hello.
Have you ever made eye contact with a flight attendant as they're doing the emergency instructions? That throws them off because they're so used to everyone ignoring them.
So when you're actually paying attention.
I am all about the emergency instructions.
I agree with you.
I watch them, but I feel like if you make eye contact with them, they're like, ugh. Like you can see the dead in their eyes. Like they're so tired of the, because I'm like, I know what it feels like when people aren't paying attention.
The whole plane will be completely dismissing everything they have to say about saving their lives.
Yeah.
I get it.
That never makes any sense to me. Do you ever sit in the emergency exit row?
I don't.
I do. I stay much more alert. I'm looking at the exits, you know.
You're like the go-getter. You're like, all right, guys,
you have the
responsibility. Let's just do a run-through.
I don't drink during the flight. I make sure I'm wearing proper footwear.
Yeah, yes. You know, they say, are you willing and able? But then they don't say you can't drink if you're going to be the emergency person.
And they also don't say those flip-flops aren't going to cut it if the plane's on fire. Yeah. I mean, I never understand
that. There should be requirements.
You need to be prepared.
Yes. I mean,
pretty cocky.
Do you see what they have you do? Have you ever seen this where the instructions are, you know, not just open the door, but like lift it and put it on the seats, or like throw it backwards or forward away from the engines.
Right, and there's like a separate thing you have to pull to unlock it, and it's like, no, I'm not going to remember.
They should ask you how much you could bench if you're going to sit in that thing. Because that's a heavy door.
That's fair. I think if you can't put your bag in the overhead, maybe you shouldn't be sitting in the emergency exit.
There's all these kind of rules.
That's our rules. Pretty late rules for flying. No booze, no flip-flops or high heels.
Appropriate footwear.
Yep, all those things.
Strength.
They said there was one airline that they were going to say you can't take your shoes off during the flights.
I think that's fair.
Did you hear about that?
I think that's kind of...
Really? I always take my shoes off.
Why?
Oh, I don't know. I don't.
Was that us?
Gross, yes.
Okay, first of all, like, it's not like I don't wear, like, horrible clothes when I have like new shoes on, so there's not going to smell, and I have socks on.
Yeah, well, people don't know that. Just keep your shoes on.
No, I take them off.
That's gross.
I was on a flight. I think I have a picture somewhere in my phone of this girl who not only she had no shoes or socks on, and she had her feet up on the seat like gnarly toes and just blah.
This is not your living room.
No.
There's other people around you. It's very close quarters.
Oh, I take it. I enjoy myself. I take my shoes off.
Where did you on your flight back from Florida? Were you on the aisle, window, middle?
Window. I was Southwest, so I was like C87. I was like the last person.
Were there other people in your row?
Yeah.
And you had your shoes off.
And I got a window because he wanted to sit with his wife.
All right.
No problems. No.
No. Well, not for you.
There's no smells. No, they were fine. They didn't even notice because I also put my bag over my feet, so they can't even tell, really.
Mm. I always fly in, I'm such a dork. I fly in riding boots. I'm always wearing things in the back. Yeah, I'm just like, yeah, well, because these are easier to get through security. I don't take my shoes off anymore because of a TSA pre-check.
Oh, I gotta do that.
Why don't you have, how do you travel?
I know. I always say I'm gonna go early. I'm getting it. I know.
I don't understand how you can travel and not have TSA pre-check.
I know, for the amount that I travel now, too.
There are some airlines that part of their, like, you know, the premier flying or whatever, they give you, that's part of the package, like your global travel and your TSA pre-check.
It's not that
makes
expensive.
A difference. No, it's not that expensive.
No, I got to do.
Especially if you travel a lot, then you don't take your shoes off. You don't have to take your jacket, like one layer of jacket.
Yeah.
As long as you're down to, like, just the blazer or, and then you can leave your computer in the bag. Oh, that's nice.
I'm into it.
You don't have to separate your...
Maybe that's all... That'll be my...
your resolution.
Gratitude for the
I am so grateful
my birthday present to myself.
My TSA pre-check.
Yeah.
I don't know how you don't have that already. Everybody should have. I mean, if you travel more than... Let's say more than 4 times a year, it pays for itself.
Yeah, it pays for it.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Do you get a chance to travel? Well, yeah, you're going off
to... jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, you gotta get your...
Every time I travel, it's for jiu-jitsu, pretty much.
Do you carry on everything you need, or do you have to check a bag?
No, I check a bag.
Right.
But I always have my carry-on with my gi, just in case.
I have to. How anybody travels and checks the things they need the most, well, I will never understand that either. If you're not willing to lose something, don't put it in your check bag.
Right.
If you absolutely cannot live without it. I was at an airport in California, and this guy was yelling at the baggage person, saying, my medications are in my check bag. And she's like, well, then you shouldn't have checked them. And I was like, yeah.
I mean, that stuff I would just think you would put in your carry-on.
Right. Or that's just somebody trying to be a jerk to the...
Yeah. But yeah, no, I pack my gi, keep it in there, just in case.
Do you have more than one gi you travel with?
I usually will take two. Just to have a backup in case.
I would think.
Because, you know, they're very, strict about the gi you wear, and they check it, so just in case they don't approve of it.
Is there any online coverage of the Pan Am Jiu-Jitsu competitions that are coming up?
There's a company called Flow Grappling, and you can subscribe, and they show all of the matches, all of the mats, everything, like all 4 days of
the
tournament.
So we can follow Jen while she's competing.
You could watch me. Yes, you could.
I think that would be awesome.
In March?
It would be cool.
It's in March?
Yes.
And you have two students that are also competing?
At Chicago.
Yeah. Ah, that's so cool.
So that's exciting.
If you go to WGN Radio's Facebook page, you can look for our Jiu-Jitsu recess, as well as we just did curling not too long ago, too. So got a couple of fun videos. I'm sorry I couldn't invite you, Paul.
No, that was the one I wanted to go
How
to.
How was that?
It was fun. They were great. The Northbrook Curling Club. It was really, really fun. I enjoyed it completely. I just had no idea. It's harder than it looks.
Oh, I'm sure.
Are you watching the Olympics?
Yes.
And have that one person that's like sliding down on one foot. Like, that's not easy.
No.
That is not. I'm like, whoa. And the brooming.
Pressures.
Yeah. That's intense. Like, I didn't quite get that, but it's like to kind of warm up the ice, the stone glides a certain way, and then there you can get into the circle and, you know, make it so that that stone keeps going and doesn't land. I don't know. It's very complicated.
Wow.
It was a lot of fun. I got to wear, you know, a cute hat. That's really all I was going for at that point. Have you ever tried curling?
I have not.
I think
you make it sound like it's a common thing. Like, oh, have you tried curling? Like,
have you gone to your local curling place?
Yeah, no, you know it's on my list.
You said it was in Northbrook.
It's in Northbrook. It's right off of like the 294 that's up there. It's definitely in Northbrook.
Yeah,
I'll have to look up the address or the name of I feel badly because they're fans of the show, and we've got to have them on the show this week before the Olympics are over. Are you watching the Olympics at all? Any of the competitions?
Yeah, I love the ice skating.
Everyone's watching the ice skating. I haven't had a chance.
I didn't understand the scoring. I was watching the...
You're an ice skater.
I know. I was.
How do you not understand the skating scores?
I don't. I just... The one guy did really awesome, and his scores were really bad, and the guy fell, and he got a lot more points. It felt like there was a lot of stuff. Yeah. Tanya was...
But isn't it always like that? Hasn't it always...
I never noticed it before.
It is the Chicago Curling Club in Northbrook, by the way. It's at 555 Dundee Road in Northbrook. And the folks there are so cool. So I highly recommend that you check that out. And you can go to, let's see what the website is. God bless you, Paul. I know. It was great that you used the ChicagoCurlingClub.org. So go to their website and you can see, see all the great folks there. For hanging out with us pretty late. Hope that you're happy, healthy, and safe wherever you are tonight. I'm looking at my list of topics tonight. I said, I don't know if I want to talk about the stimulus package that was announced today. So there are reports that it's going to hit poorer states the hardest. But I'm hoping that it means that bridges and roads are going to get the long needed fixes that we have. You know, there's a lot of places in the country that are vulnerable to after that bridge collapse in Minnesota, we all thought, oh, we're going to focus now on making sure that everything is safe, and that did not happen. Yeah. So I think we can skip that. I'm not watching. I haven't watched any of the Olympics. I went out for dinner tonight, and there was some of the skiing. I guess there was one kid. Is his name Red Grange?
Gerard.
Gerard? Is that Red Gerard? Is that his name?
Yeah.
Did you see this where he like got up late? He woke up later than he wanted to.
Said the F-bomb on.
Yeah.
Stop it.
He said the F-bomb. He lost his jacket. It was all like sort of like he was in last place heading into the final round and then won the gold medal.
But what was it for? Was it snowboarding?
It was snowboarding, but like freestyle snowboarding.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to do all those things to get the gold. It's like part of it. It's like, all right, did you eat Doritos? So he's like, yeah, man, all right.
Yeah.
We'll give you the
done.
Gold.
Well, my husband made a really good point today that, having that reflex of saying the word that he did, which I believe was MF-er.
Okay.
I believe. And, or maybe it was a holy F. Okay. Well, you're all there.
Yes.
And Steve said that has to be a reflex. That has to be something that you just say all the time that you learn to just, cause Griffin is starting to throw some foul language around. I'm like, hey.
Yeah.
You know, just because John Oliver does or you saw it in a movie, this is not go-to language.
Right.
Just because mommy, sometimes you've heard her
swears.
When we get rear-ended, at a stoplight, mommy might, when I'm almost launched through the windshield, mommy might use that word. It might be a reflex for me. But did you grow up around, did your parents ever swear in front of you?
Not really.
Really? Yeah, my dad never did.
Not a lot.
No. My dad did not, but my mom and I could toss them around like sailors.
I mean, I do more so sometimes.
Do they ever say anything to you? Do you ever swear in front of your parents now?
Not really in front of my dad. In front of my mom, I do.
That's a thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Daddy's girl.
Yeah.
That was an issue I had too. I didn't swear in front of my dad. Paul, do your parents, first of all, do your parents swear?
They do now, but when we were growing up,
are they holding it in?
But I think it's like now more so they would, not all the time, but I don't remember them really swearing a lot when I was younger.
They let me swear in front of them. Like, I got away with everything.
Yeah.
Not my brother, but I did.
Is that why you're a comic now? I'm not a doctor.
I'm a clean comic.
That's true.
You are. I don't swear on stage.
Yeah, that's true. I can vouch for that completely. I am, my mom swore quite a bit when I was a kid. So it's fine. It's fine. It's all part of the world experience. Casera, did your parents swear in front of you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think my first words was a cuss word, actually.
Did they swear in front of you and then say, don't ever let us see you swear?
No. I think I learned the hard way. Like, I said one of the words, and then they told me, don't say that. But like even now, I do not curse in front of my mother.
But I think that it makes sense. Although, like I said, with my mom, I can't understand the rules. Right? I don't, because like she'll swear, and then the next day I'll be in her car and I'll cuss, and she'll I don't appreciate it, and I'm like, well, you always swear. I gave up. I'm like, what, yesterday? And I don't want to be around people who swear anymore. Okay, well, you have to walk then, because I'm driving you somewhere. Guess this road trip is over. As did your parents ever swear in front of you?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. No, my dad always swore, and then my mom would every once in a while swear, and it was like, what? You said that? But I never swore in front of them. It just, I mean, they never said anything. Like, don't swear or whatever. I just never did it. It feels weird.
That makes sense. Yeah, I never really swore in front of my dad. I think maybe that'll be what I do for Lent. Not all the words. I don't think I'm going to give up all the words. Just maybe one.
Maybe one.
I think that's
two.
Yeah.
One or two. Just work your way into it.
Yeah, right. Work your way.
Maybe one of the ones that I don't use very often anyway.
Start just slowly. There you go.
And then or swear with new words.
Right?
Yeah, rotate the vocabulary there.
There you go.
I like that. Rotate the vocabulary. So, and there are like a list of really cool, I think, ways to cuss that have gone out of style that I think would be fun to sort of... Let me see if I can find the list.
Yeah, bring it back.
Right? The sort of colloquial...
Bring back the front door. Shut the front door.
Shut the front door.
I think
we should be able to find a no longer used cuss words or something like that. There should be a list out there. Let's see.
Of no longer used cuss
words. Yeah. Mm. Cuss words. Let's see if we can. But then we run into trouble with the FCC because if they. Well, how do we know how long ago?
Yeah, just because they haven't been used a lot doesn't mean they're not cuss words.
Yeah,
exactly. Let's see if I can find something that's a little bit safe. I don't want to get anybody in trouble. Nope, not that one. Nope, I can't say that one. Seems all right. Let me get into a list that we can use here.
I found some, but I don't know how to pronounce any of these words.
Different countries, maybe you can use different language ones.
No, we try not to to push the boundaries on that because 21 amazing forgotten curse words we need to bring back.
Ooh, look at that
from the Matador Network. Oh, here we go. I do like this. You know what, Paul? You are such a beard splitter.
What does that even mean?
Yeah, I'm like,
if you think about it for a minute.
Yeah, just let it sink in.
Ted, as long as you're not a bed swerver.
A bed swerver?
Bed swerver.
What is synonymous with it?
Yeah. I feel like this is on some like Nickelodeon show.
Yeah.
And there's going to be like some smudge that's going to fall onto you or something.
Here's a Victorian word for idiot. Zunderkite.
Wow.
I might start using that.
Zounderkite?
I actually like the sound of that.
Here's a 20th century meaning to spray poo upon is a biscumber. Oh. Don't be a biscumber.
Biscumber.
The meaning is to spray poo upon?
Yeah.
Specifically spray.
Right there. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. A fop doodle. That's an excellent. I think that's a dumbass.
Oh, there you go. I like that.
Yeah. You fop doodle. Come on, that's fun to say.
Fop doodle?
Fop doodle. Maybe you feel too dorky saying that one.
Yeah. None of these are sticking, and that's probably why they're not around anymore.
How about a mumble crust?
Mumble crust.
A medieval word referring to a toothless beggar from a medieval theater comedy. How about a muck spout? Oh no, this would be, you know what? This is what I am. Apparently, not all the time. A muck spout is one who swears too much.
Oh, there you go.
See? I am such a muck spout. That seems like it'd go badly. None of these float your boat?
No, I'm not going to use any of these.
None of them?
No.
All right, let me see.
I don't think that's probably why they didn't
write. This is why they were forgotten.
What do you mean? Those were great.
No.
None of these are
How about Zunderkinds? Yeah, it's not.
Are these still all German?
How about Sard? Just Sard. It's a medieval word for the F word. Oh. Sard. Hmm. No, not.
Sounds like something you might get in Canada.
You know, what? Or need to get vaccinated for somewhere. By the way, Gadzooks. People still use the word Gadzooks. I don't know if that's when we.
I think Norm MacDonald does.
Does he really?
Yeah.
It means God's hooks. By the way. Yeah, none of these are... Nope, not that one. Gads Boldgudlickens. Nope.
A lot of these are really long.
Pot splits! Sorry,
no. No. What does that even mean?
It's a German phrase, which means translate to upon my soul. Yeah, that doesn't really.
Upon my soul.
No. No.
How is that a swear?
Yeah, that's not.
What swear is that even related to?
Mm-hmm. I don't think I think you're
it's
right.
It's like swearing, like on my grave or something.
It says it's exceedingly old-fashioned, so don't expect to intimidate anyone with it.
I don't know. I feel like if you're in a haunted house and you jump out at me and yell that,
pot split.
Question things.
Here's a swear words you are neglecting. 312-981-7200, by the way, if there are, some people make up their own.
Clever ones.
Yeah. Some people make up their own, and I'm always afraid to tell you what the made up ones are because I'm afraid I'll slip and say the actual.
Say the actual word.
Like substituting the word in.
Exactly, right.
To what say was that movie that's all they did for the whole movie? Johnny Dangerously.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
Corksucker.
Oh my gosh.
You know what?
He wouldn't swear.
Created one.
Oh, you're just
really?
Yeah, she uses schneit.
Oh, see, that makes me nervous.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, you got it. But
that's good. Yeah.
The movie with Joe Pescobo, Johnny Dangerously, he would have a different swear every time, and it was a non-swear. You don't remember that movie? Guys?
I've never seen it.
Johnny Dangerously?
No.
So you say it's a Johnny Knox movie?
Johnny Dangerously. No, it's Joe Piscopo from like early 80s or something.
Nope. Oh, no, I can't use that one. Nope, I can't use that one. Nope. I think I'm on the wrong list. No. No.
Clean curse
words. What's a Beau Abbey? That's okay, right? No, can't say that. Wanka? Can we say... you know what? Let me take a break and check with the FCC. More after this on 720 WGN. On a scale of 1 to 10, I'd like to ask my my friends in the studio, Jen Zanotti, our jiu-jitsu expert and Motivational Monday guest, Paul Farvar, comedian and attorney at law, host of the podcast Singles Only, Kassara in the producer's booth filling in for Michael Heidemann. Unfortunately, Esmeralda was not able to hear the list that I plowed through during the break. How likely is it that I would get in trouble on a scale of 1 to 10 for using most
Don't
of those?
Do it again.
Never repeat any of those ever again.
I mean, I don't think even like in public I should.
Trouble with what?
With using some of those words.
In public, yeah. Definitely in public. Like when you're driving down, like rush hour traffic.
Yes.
Use those words. Killers.
Yeah. Go empty both barrels.
Exactly.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah,
all right.
Totally. 5 o'clock, stuck on like the 90. Yeah. Those are the words that I would suggest you go to.
Yeah, some of them were. Some of those were rough.
Those are perfect.
Some of them were made out of waffles.
Yeah, I like that. That was my favorite.
That was that your favorite?
Yeah.
I can't say that
really,
one.
Really, that one?
That, I mean, I it stuck with me. I don't know.
That one? Yikes.
By the way, from Jay Covert, one of the gangsters in Johnny Dangerously would say Fargan Ice Hole, but it wasn't Piscopo. It was a different one who had trouble speaking English, the guy from Italy.
Right.
Does that make sense to you? All
yep. Right.
By the way, this was, I think, one of the first segments I ever did on WGN Radio was a list of historical euphemisms for having sex, right? And this was one of my favorite lists I ever, because, you know, when you're, and I think they were quite creative, I think, back in the day. How about making the beast with two backs?
Two backs?
Two backs. So, yes.
Okay.
All right, just saying, because, yeah. to give someone a green gown. Mm-hmm. This meant having sex outside in the grass. So,
okay.
He gave, her a green gown.
The green, I was a little.
Let's see. I don't understand. Engage in 3-1 and bound to lose. This is from the 1790s. It's a gambling metaphor and was usually said by men. Making feet for children's stockings. Wait. So apparently you would be engaging in that behavior so that you could fill the baby socks.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
This one's self-explanatory. Shaking the sheets.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. That's from the 1500s to the 1600s. But it's actually a reference to a medieval kind of dance. So, I know. There you go.
Shaking the sheets.
It can mean two things.
How about being in the service of Venice? I'm sorry, a Venus. I should have got that one right. Yeah.
I was
so convinced. I said it was.
You were so excited.
So
and
much
I was like
confidence. No,
I
being
don't
in
get
the,
it.
Being in the service of Venus during the 1300s, which is obviously the Roman goddess of love.
Yes.
So that one makes sense. We have a listener who's calling in. We have Stella. Hey, Stella.
That's me.
Hi.
How are you, Patty?
Well, how are you doing, Stella?
Fine. We're doing fine. My husband and I listen to you every night.
Oh, just, thank you.
Just as we're going to hit the sack, and we love your show. Anyhow, you were talking about curse words.
Yes.
And I don't know if you know what the German word for brassiere is.
No. What's the German word for bra?
The German word for brassiere is holds them from flopping.
Holds them flip from flopping? What?
Holds brassiere in German. Is holds them from flopping.
Holds them from flopping?
Yeah.
I absolutely love it, and that seems very specific.
Are we?
And you speak Spanish, right?
Not fluently.
You understand. You understand
yes.
Spanish.
As a lot to help.
Yeah,
me.
Which I was telling your producer. I said in Japanese, the word handkerchief is sakamoko.
Oh, I love that. I think that sounds like a good swear word,
yes.
Though. Sakamoko.
It
sounds like a swear word, but it isn't really.
I'm going to sound crazy when I do that one. Oh.
Yeah. And next time you have some jokes on, mm-hmm. I've got a real good one for you that you can use. But it's a little bit long, but it's really funny. I won $50 with it at Latin Laugh Fest, so.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
What Laugh Fest were you at?
His name is Oscar. Hold on, let me ask my husband. What's Oscar's last name? He can't remember. But
that's okay. Oh, I love.
Yeah, he brings out a couple of Latin comedians, and they had an impromptu night, and they said, "Whoever has a joke, come on up." And I had heard this joke years before, and I remembered it and told it, and I won $50.
Oh, I love that! You don't want to tell us the joke tonight?
Well, I'll be glad to tell you. A guy and this man and this woman go to the doctor because they're having trouble in the bedroom. So the doctor takes the man in the room and he examines him and he says, "Joe, tell me, do you and your wife have intercourse?" And the guy says, "You know, Doc, hold it a minute." So he opens the door to the waiting room and there's got to be at least 50 people there. And Joe yells out to his wife and he says, "Hey, Mary, do we have intercourse?" And she puts her magazine down and says, "No, we've got Blue Cross and Blue Shield."
I love it. Excellent job, Stella. Oh, that's so good.
Yeah, I've got lots more, but that's the only one I'll share with you tonight.
All right. I look forward to catching up with you again and hearing more of your jokes. Tell your husband we said good night, too.
Okay, we'll do.
Thank you.
Anyway,
love
take
you.
Care.
Have a good night.
Love you, too. Bye-bye.
Oh, that was so sweet. I'm grateful
that
for Stella
funny.
And her husband.
See,
I'm just saying.
That was nice.
I met a couple when I was at an event in Carol Stream who told me that when they also get into bed together and listen to my show. And
aww.
I love knowing that. Mm-hmm. Just, there you go, Paul.
Shaking the sheets.
Let's just leave.
Well, you
it.
Said it could mean multiple things.
Right, it's a dance. Maybe they're dancing.
Yeah.
All right.
But see, those are nice things to hear.
Yeah, those are very cool things to hear. So there you go. Those are, but here's the thing. I was such a goody two-shoes when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't have even understand euphemisms when I was a kid. I didn't know, like, any... My parents would not let me see any movies that had any sort of physical, interaction. Like, if it was violence, that was fine. If there were people getting shot or stabbed or whatever, that was okay. But if there were, like, one of the movies they dragged me out of when I was way too young to see it was An Officer and a Gentleman.
Uh-huh.
And it took me until you, Paul, can you
there's
imagine?
There's nudity in that one.
There's, well, there's more than nudity. There's a lot going on. And my dad dragged me out of the theater, and it wasn't until I was, like, in college that I finally saw the movie. I'm like, oh, yeah, I could see why that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But the moment he was very conflicted. We went to go see, this is the worst father-daughter movie in the entire world. We went to go see Basic Instinct together.
Oh, my God.
I think I saw that with my parents, too.
Oh,
that's
It was so uncomfortable. Well, and the opening scene.
I think I did see that with my parents too, actually.
And the opening scene is both physical and then it becomes very violent.
Right.
So I think my father was like, well,
I could never watch a movie like that with my dad.
It was so uncomfortable. We saw it at the Pickwick Theater in Park Ridge. And I remember at one point, after the interrogation scene where she crosses and uncrosses her legs.
Oh my gosh, yes.
He goes, I need a cigarette. And I was like, why now? Couldn't it have been any other scene besides this one? Very uncomfortable. Yeah, my parents would drag me out of all the movies with too much sex. Like, Risky Business.
Wow. Yeah.
And here's the thing, like, what kind of research were my parents not doing?
I mean, basic instinct, though.
But it was in the paper. Mm. They would have in the paper, like, rated R or nudity. Yeah. Did your parents ever take you to inappropriate movies for you?
No, we never really went to the movies.
See?
So.
I feel like my parents were a little bit like Nick D's parents. I saw a lot of things I saw that I should not have seen, but like at four, my mom would say, well, you didn't say anything. And I'm like, because I was stunned into silence. I'm just staring at the screen going, what is happening? Why did, I remember seeing like Godfather 2 when I was really little, just being like, I don't understand any of these things.
Yeah.
Let's take a break here. If you remember seeing a movie that was way too soon for you, 312-981-7200. I'm not saying our parents made bad choices. I'm just saying, maybe they thought that was a way to help us mature and they didn't have to deal with it. Did you see a movie way before you should have when you were growing up? For me, it was movies like, I can't say I saw Risky Business when I was a kid because my parents dragged me out of it. And then they took me to see An Officer and Gentleman and dragged me out of that movie. And the movies they let me stay for were the violent movies like Godfather 2 and One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest is not necessarily violent. It's just not also appropriate for a child.
There's parts in there that are kind of racy.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if you also had an experience, whether your parents took you to the movies, maybe they didn't realize it, and they figured, well, we're here, we may as well stay. Or did you have siblings or friends that exposed you to movies long before you should have seen them? Hey, Patrick, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, Patty, how are you?
Very well, thank you. What movies did you see long before you should have?
There were a few. Now, one I don't know the title of, but I remember my late father took us out to the drive-in in Riverdale.
Uh-huh.
And the opening scene had a very violent gas station robbery to the point where the guy had a gun pointed at his face, and it was graphic. He got shot in the face. At that point, my father started ranting and raving, gunned the engine, and took off with the speaker still attached.
Oh, no. Is that trying to get you away from the violence?
Right. Well, the thing is, I think my sister, she's 7 years older than I was, she says the movie was Dirty Harry. And I don't know if that's a scene in Dirty Harry or not.
That sounds...
Charles Bronson movie.
Is it?
It seems like it. I don't know. I could be wrong.
Hold on. Now I feel like finding that.
Yeah, I've been trying to find the name of that movie for years. There are quite a few others, but two others that I told the producer about, and I told Nick, I called Nick DiGilio about these two. They're two blaxploitation movies. All these movies happened when I was 6 years old. My sister took me to the Roseland Theater with my cousins, and we saw a double feature, and it was Pam Grier and Black Mama, White Mama, which was a women's prison movie, and I'll just leave it at that. You can Google that, and I'll tell you. It has a very famous, there's two women in chains. It was a very famous slap fight scene. I think it was filmed in the Philippines. And the other one was Blackula. And at 6 years old, that's just not a movie you want to be seeing.
Wow. Yeah. Did you say these were movies that your parents took you to, or how did you see them?
No. Well, the one at the drive-in was the one the parents, we went as a family.
Right.
But the other two I just told you about at the Roseland, sister took me to see.
So, and your parents didn't like ask her where she was taking you, what you were going to see, or did she lie?
Well, she probably lied because, again, I'm six, so I don't know. All I remember, too, is there was a scene in Blackula. I think there's a scene where there's a lot of vampires coming at them, and they're more like they're coming at people like zombies. And I'm this little kid in the theater crying. I mean, scream crying. I think they almost got kicked out of the theater because it scared me so bad. And she just, at that point, she said, I will never, ever take you anywhere with me again.
You ruined everything.
I just ruined it. Well, the wacky thing is, though, up until the Roseland Theater didn't really check for any, I was going to see R-rated movies when I was 8, 9 years old by myself at this theater.
Oh, man.
And it had, well, also, if anybody that grew up in Roseland in the 70s, during the week, Monday through Friday, the Roseland played, let's just say, X-rated films.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah. So, I never snuck in, but the neighborhood kids would go sneak in. I always went on Saturdays because you would see kung fu movies. Like, I saw a Phantasm there, which is one of my favorite films. I was, at that time, I think I had just turned 12.
Right.
And, of course, it's an R-rated film. They just never bothered to check ID. They just never. You could go see whatever movie was playing, except during the week. They tried to be a little more diligent, but somehow the neighborhood kids were bragging about how they snuck in and saw a particular film.
Well, I remember I remember that adrenaline you had, like, when the horror movies, it was always the horror movies that we wanted to go see.
Yeah.
It would say, like, must be accompanied by an adult, and we'd be so excited when they would let us in to see, like, Nightmare on Elm Street, and we were all too young.
Right, that was always awesome. Right?
Nobody
Friday the 13th.
Yep.
Going downtown to the State Lake. I think the State Lake was even like that. The downtown theaters for a while, it was the Woods on Randolph, and they would always show three. It would be two kung fu films in between a horror film. There was only one time, I used to go there, like I said, I was about 11, 12, and there was only one time they tried to not let me in, and all I did was go to somebody that looked older and said, hey, can you escort me in, and they let me in.
Wow. See, I love, and there's so many people have great stories about going to the movies. Thank you so much, Patrick, and I loved your stories. Look forward to hearing from you again.
Thank you for taking the call.
Thank you. I think he's taking a turn, too.
I think, yeah, he was. I heard the signal.
It was like a perfect, like radio theater turn signal sound. Click, 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 click. I used to go see movies. Again, once you are, 3, 4 years old, seeing movies that you shouldn't, when you're 12, you may as well. Who's going to care now?
Exactly.
Paul, you just got back from Florida. Speaking of inappropriate, so what were the complaints against? What was the complaint against you? Was it from the audience or from the club owner?
No. They got an email from one of my jokes about offended somebody.
Oh.
I have a joke about my mom. Well, there's three parts to it. There's like a callback that I do, but essentially it's a true story. My mom's first name is Negar.
Ah, yes.
And as a kid, I grew up calling her that, and I didn't think it was weird until I lost her at a grocery store, and I was running up and down the aisles yelling her name. That's the joke,
right?
And then I say it a couple times, but I mean, that's her name is Negar. It's a very common name in Iran, and so. Somebody was offended by it. They said
by your mother's name.
Yeah. So they, but I mean, I do a callback to it a few times in different ways. But I didn't that night. I just said the word probably three times total.
Right.
The word being Negar, not the N word. But this lady wrote a thing that she was offended and that. But which was weird because there was other comedians that night who. Did things that were way more racially
charged.
We
don't have to go into details. I feel like we're going into other territory. Yeah.
Well, I just it was funny that I got singled out, and the club was cool. I said, hey, can I respond to her just so I can explain? Because the true story of my parents didn't want to teach me that it was a bad word.
What's the origin of your mother's name?
In Iran, in Farsi, it means like it's just a common Persian name. I should probably know what it means, it's like the more important thing is my mom was Baha'i, and that religion, they have the beautiful church or the temple in Wilmette.
I've never seen aerial shots of that. I had no idea how beautiful that was from the.
It's one of the seven wonders of Chicago, and
it's gorgeous.
Part of the religion is they believe in interfaith marriage and interracial marriage. They're really big into it, and the guy who, it's just like they didn't want to teach me the word, the N word, and why I can't say that in public. So they would never.
Why you couldn't say your mother's name in public?
Right, because they would get people
they would mishear it or hear what they wanted to hear.
Yeah, people would, when you're a kid, you don't know why it's going that. So it's kind of like a cool story in the sense that they're like, my parents didn't want to teach me what hatred meant until, I mean, until I got older and I figured it out for myself.
But
so I want to, like, they said I can email her back and just explain that and then also give my history of, you know, my background.
There's actually a film with that spelling.
Yeah, it's in Chicago.
It's an Iranian movie.
Yeah.
There you go. We'll maybe send her a link to the movie.
Go check it out.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. There you go. There's a learning experience.
So, but yeah, it was funny that I got singled out. And there was another comedian. I've been to that club where he puts on glasses that make him look of Asian descent. And he does a stereotypical Asian voice.
It's a feminine name, by the way. It means sweetheart, idol, or beloved.
Mm-hmm.
That's your mother's name.
There you go.
Just saying. Might want to know that now.
I should know that. Yeah. Well, I know that in the 60s and 70s, it was the seventh most common name in Iran.
Hmm. Interesting. I'm sorry, going through the Persian origins.
So, but no, I mean, I could see how it's offensive.
It even comes up on Baby Wizard, Baby Name Wizard. Which is
still used.
Which is the one that I used for, because you can put in, like, what, you know, so Griffin's name,
mm-hmm.
we would put it in, and it would give us a list of names that would complement or sort of, you know, be in the same family of names. Yeah. Declan is actually not on the list, but Devin was.
Oh.
And Dylan. So we kind of went from that. So we sort of extrapolated from that and decided on Declan.
That's very cool.
I like that one. So the name on the list, this name is never ranked amongst the top 1,000 names in America, which I think that's probably...
America, right.
Right.
Now I feel like checking to see where your name ranks in the top 1,000 names for babies. Hold on, let me see. Paul. What's the origin for Paul? Do you know?
Is it biblical? Also one of the Beatles?
That's true. Griffin was very surprised to find out that Judas has a candle. He was looking for saints' names and candles for his confirmation, and I didn't know Judas had a candle. He was like, "What?" Because it's the patron saint of lost causes, apparently, which I did not realize.
Oh, wow.
The origin of the name Paul is from the Latin Paulus, originated as a Roman family name. And let's see, over time, your name peaked in the 1960s.
Mm.
It was, and it is now 6,308 per million babies.
What about in America, though?
That's in America.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
My grandfather was Paul. Paolo.
Oh, that's a good name.
Italy. But my cousin is Paul, also.
But I want to call you Paolo from now on.
That's fine.
Does that work for you?
Yeah, why not?
Jennifer. Let's see where Jennifer's is.
Oh, Jennifer is one of the most common
Absolutely.
Names. I'm Jennifer, my sister Sonia. I'm like, she got the Italian name.
I didn't realize it originates from Guinevere. Did you
really?
Know? Yeah.
No.
Cornish derivation of Guinevere, which is from the Welsh Gwynfar, fair lady.
Hmm.
Until the 20th century, Jennifer was largely a regional name. Now, however, it has become one of the most popular names in the English-speaking world. You peaked in the 1970s. Not you peaked.
Yeah.
But 17,321 per million babies.
Wow.
Ez, do you want yours or...
Okay.
This is Googling with Patty. We call this segment Googling with Patty, by the way, just so we're all... Ez, I need your name to really just autofill.
Sure.
It did. I think,
oh, did it?
I use your name enough on my phone that it should.
Also, did you spell it right?
E-S-M-E-R-A.
E-R-A-L-D-A.
E-R-A-L-D-A? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And
because, like, if you, like, when you read The Hunchback, it's E-R-E-L-D-A. Esmeralda.
It's Esmeralda.
Yeah.
A borrowing of the Spanish name, which is taken from the word meaning emerald.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, I knew that.
Yeah.
Your name peaked in the 2007s.
Oh. Is that when that movie, when the Disney movie
came
out?
I'll bet you it was.
2007?
When did the...
It included an S at the end of 2007. So I'm just reading it. I can only read what I've got right in front
Understood.
Of me. I could have edited on the fly, but I chose not to. 402 per million babies as... Just kind of...
That's not common, right?
It's not that... No, it's not very...
Good.
Like, Jen's is like 17,000
right.
per million.
I mean, I had so many other Jennifers in my classes growing up.
I had a Jennifer. I had an Esmeralda in my in high school. She was in my science class.
Oh, really? Oh.
She was much smarter than me in science. And every time they'd call Esmeralda, I'd turn and be like, "Oh, that's not me." Okay.
Kisara, is it one. C-E-S-A-R-A?
Negative.
Negative. How do I?
C-A. Capital S-E-R-A.
I don't think I'm going to get this right. It's not going to come up, is it?
No.
It's like, no. Am I even saying it right?
Yeah, Kisara, oh. Yeah.
Okay, good. No entry.
Yeah.
You know what this means?
Safe.
We can make our own.
Oh.
More after this on 720 WGN. Your public service announcement for the evening. If your car is still covered with snow, please clean it off before you start to operate your vehicle. And if you happen to have a lot of snow on the roof of your car, that also needs to be removed so that you do not pose a danger to yourself and in particular those around you, especially if they're at the intersection of Oakton and Milwaukee Avenue in the afternoon. No, don't give out. My attorney is shaking his head at me. Don't. No? Okay. That was really, I've never... There was some... even my That's not crazy. Legal team is shaking their head at me. Don't talk about
those
it.
Those are just such specific, like, right. Forgive someone, right?
I think my... Okay, I won't talk about it anymore. We'll wait till the court date. Anyway, Paul, you just got back from Florida.
I
and
did.
You met two of my favorite comics. You
Unbelievable.
Met the Smothers Brothers.
I did, yeah. I talked to them for a while, too. They were really, really nice and... Yeah, they were backstage before the show, and I was late to the show, which is my thing. And
it's your thing to be late?
I'm not good at time. You know this. Well, you're not good at
time. I'm not good with time, and like I already had a comic say he wanted to punch me in the face because of it, so that's fun.
That's
another thing. Don't talk about it. Is that a legal thing
that's
again?
Another story.
You know, it's fun when dudes say that to a woman. Go ahead.
No, that's it. So, and then after the show, I saw where they were sitting during my set. I was really nervous.
I can imagine. Can you imagine looking out in the audience and seeing
it was,
some comedy legends?
I mean, that's crazy.
It was insane. And then I saw them after the show. I was like, hey, can I take a picture? And then they were like, we really like your set. And they mentioned parts of my stuff
right.
that they liked.
How weird is that?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's really cool. That's surreal.
And then...
that's got to be like the best compliment ever.
Yeah, it was cool. I was pretty stoked. And then that was the first show on Friday, I think, or Saturday. And then the next show, the girl from Siesta Key, the show on MTV, was there. And I bombed really bad. So it was just humbling. That was the one where I got the complaint.
You know, I did a show one time in San Antonio, and Jackie Earl Haley was in the audience. He was from Breaking Away and The Watchmen.
I love Breaking Away. Which character was
he? He's the short guy.
Oh, yeah.
He, I'm sure he hates it.
We talked about him.
He was, he was really nice. Like, he came with the same thing where you're like, I actually have a picture with him before he left for the night. So it's just kind of cool when you meet somebody and they're better than you could have imagined. But,
right.
But the Smothers Brothers would have.
Smothers was really cool.
I would have been really tongue-tied on stage.
I was, but then there was a really good, you know, when you're having a good show, like, I'm like, cool, I can talk to them afterwards. But, they were giving me a lot of cool stuff that was,
advice?
While they were talking, I'm like, I'm not on my phone, I'm just writing everything you're saying.
Right.
And then,
was it like about being rude?
Was it about timing?
Notes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, they're just saying like just general life things.
Oh, okay.
Like,
wow.
About they asked like my age because I talked about how it was my birthday coming up and they said what you know I told them my age like that's a power year and I'm like what does that mean and then he went into this whole thing about what happened when he was my age and everything and I was like
when's your birthday.
Saturday.
Really?
Oh,
I didn't
happy
know that.
Birthday.
Mm. Happy birthday to you.
It's not there yet.
I know. But in case I don't see you. Happy birthday to you.
You're going to see me on Thursday. So, but they were awesome. They were great, and so was Florida.
Oh, wonderful. This is at the end of the show, we talk about something that we're happy about, what makes us smile. Jen, what do you got going on that makes you happy tonight?
I'm excited because we're adding a Thursday night women's class. The ladies want some more jujitsu, so we're going to add a Thursday evening. I'm not sure on time yet. And I got to see my good friend of 16 years, Vesna, today, and I got to hang out with you earlier.
Well, thank you.
So there were a lot of good things today.
Well, happy Monday.
Yeah, it was a great Monday.
By the way, I want to say that I'm going to miss Nick D the next couple of nights. He is dealing with some issues in his apartment, which I know he'll fill you in on the next few days. So he is off, I know for sure, tonight. Danielle's coming in soon. We are on the, we've been broadcasting from the 7th floor. It's kind of a nice view up here. It makes me happy.
It is nice. I like it.
Hang out with you guys. Ez, do you have anything good to tell us? What makes you happy? Tell me something good.
I think I slept normally today.
Isn't that a strange feeling?
Because I've been sleeping too long. And today I slept, I think, the normal amount I should be sleeping.
There's something about the winter time that makes it much harder get up and go. Plus, I have a heated blanket now.
Oh, I remember you talking about this.
I love it. My husband calls it the dead harp seal. It's in the bed.
It sounds lovely.
It is so, oh my gosh, it makes me so happy.
Yeah.
It makes me very, very happy. Well, there you go. There's my something good. Before we go, Jen, where can people find out more about jujitsu and follow you on social media?
They can go to jenzanotti.com, and they can follow me on Instagram at JZBeautyandTheBeast and Jennifer Zanotti on my Facebook.
And for Paul Farvar?
PaulFComedy.com or on Facebook, Paul F. Comedy, or Instagram, Paul Farvar.
And Singles Only Podcast.